Shalom to all. Today's Avos Yivam is Avos Ayin. We're starting right at the top with Halacha Vav. And today's Avos sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Marsh Mirim Sar Bas, Beaka Moshe, Hernish, Shama should have an Uliyah. So Misha tells us, Beis Shammai Matirin is Atzars La'achim, Beis Shammai Matirs the Tzars to marry the brothers. Beis Halos, Beis Hil Asars. In other words, Beis Shammai is arguing with this entire din that we started at Masechta with. The first Misha told us that there's 15 women who patter their Tzars from Yibum, and that's Shitas Beis Hil, where Beis Shammai now is telling us that no, that Tzara is permitted to marry the Yavam. Even though she's Tzars Erva, it's not a problem. Furthermore, continuing with this machlaikas, chaltu, if the tsar received chalitza, beshamai pasim nakuna. Beshamai passes them for marrying kayin. We know that a kayin is not allowed to marry a chalutza, and according to beshamai, since yibum is mutter with them, that means the chalitza is 100% valid, so now they're not allowed to marry kayin. Whereas beshamai machshirin, beshamai says they're kosher to marry kayin, because since yibum is not allowed, so chalitza means nothing, and therefore, even if they did chalitza, it's not considered anything, and they're allowed to marry a kayin. Furthermore, nesiavmu, if the tsara did undergo yibum, so beshamai machshirin, beshamai allows them to marry a kayin. This is talking about a situation where the yavam died, so she's still considered an almana, a widow, and we know that a widow is allowed to marry a kayin, or Beis Hillel paisley, Beis Hillel passes them to a kayin. That's because according to Beis Hillel, since the tzara was not allowed to do yibum, she just passeled herself by doing yibum, now she's not allowed to marry a kayin. And which includes something very important. Afal pisha elu paisley ve'el machshirin, even though these passel these machshir, meaning as big machlaikas besham Beis Hillel, loy nimnu besham melisa nashim Beis Hillel, v'loy Beis Hillel beshamai, besham Beis Hillel did not withhold from marrying wives from the other camp, even though technically, according to each of their shitas, somebody from the other side might have a real big problem of yichos. And also similar, called Tarasa Tamei is show you Elu Matarin ve Elu Matamin. Anytime they had a machlaikas and Tumantara, that these are Matar, these are Matame, some is Beis Shammai, some is Beis Hillel, still, Loinimnu Eisen Taharas Elu Agav Elu, they didn't withhold Eisen Taharas one on the other, which means they would lend each other pots and pans, even though maybe according to one camp, this is considered Tame, another one's Tahar, or vice versa, no issue, they would still lend each other. Sigmar quotes Mishnah Beis Shammai, Matarin, Sarsa Lachim Vachulu, Sarb Simon says Beshem Rabbiyasi, Beshem Nahirai, Taman de Beis Shammai. What's Beis Shammai's source? Where do they get this from? That the Tsaras Erva is allowed to marry the brother. That's just because the Pasuk says, Loi tia Eshes Hameis Hachutza L'Ishzar. Now, the literal translation of this, as we've had previously, is that the Eshes Hameis, the wife of the deceased, she should not be Hachutza, she should not be outside to a random person, rather, she has to marry the Yavam. However, the Jerusha is, Hachitsoina Loi tia L'Ishzar. The outside one should not be to a random person. I mean, the Jerusha is, Loi tia Eshes Hameis, the wife of the deceased, which wife of the deceased? Hachutza, Hachitsoina, the one who is considered the outer one, she's not allowed to marry a random man. So it must be they were talking about where there's two wives, one of them is an erva, she's considered the inner one, then we have the one who's not the erva, she's the outer one. So Abbas is telling us the outer one, the one who is not the erva, namely the tsaras erva, she's not allowed to marry an ishzar. She can't marry somebody random. Rather, she should undergo yibum. And that's Beis Shammai's drasha. Now says the Gemara, as to Beis Shammai ki'ilin kusaya. This shita Beis Shammai seems to be going like the kusim. Shehin miyav minasar arusais. They would say that an arusa, a woman who only underwent halachic engagement, she received kiddushin but never went to nisuin stage. If her husband died at that point, then she could do yibum. But umait sinas anisuais, they excluded nisuin. If the woman was already 100% married, she can't do yibum. The inun darshan chutza hachitzayna, because they also darshan the same thing. Loloitia eshes ames hachutza means hachitzayna, the outer one, and the outer one is the arusa. She's considered inner if she already underwent nisuin, but she's outer if she only did erusin, so she's the one who does yibum. Now we just clarify as Joshua, my makaimin kusai, that's proper girsa, uben ein loy. How did the kusim understand the pasuk of uben ein loy? This is the pasuk telling us that if she doesn't have a child, then she does yibum. But according to them, that only an arusa is able to do yibum anyway. Well, since she's an arusa, she never lived intimately with her husband, so of course she doesn't have a son. So why does the pasuk have to say uben ein loy? She doesn't have a son. So Rabbi Yaakov Kumi Rabbi Yezi, he explains uben ein loy. What does that mean? Min hanesua. This man who's married to two women, one of them is a nesua, one of them is only an arusa. So pasuk's telling us that if he doesn't have children from the nesua, so then hachitzoina loy tia l'ishzar. The outer one, the arusa, she's not allowed to marry a random person. She has to undergo yibum. But if the husband does have children from the nesua, so then the arusa is not allowed to do yibum. And that's why the kusim understand it. Now Amr Leh, he told him, Leh chazdu nach kusai, the kusim are not going to shame you, dat makayim ter shehain, because you uphold their drashas, you're defending them. Basically, Rabbi Yasi is giving a little bit of musr to Rabbi Yaakov Jeremiah for defending the kusim's false drasha. I want more memory about this. Tani Rabbi Shem ben Elazar, numesel sefer kusim, I spoke to the seferim, which means the chacham of the kusim, and I asked him, migram lechem letos, who caused this mistake for you? How did you make such a mistake? What's the mistake? The less atun drashan krib nechemia, don't you dash like nechemia? The Tani Rabbi Shem ben Elazar, the rest is taught the name of Nechemya, called Davar Shu Tzarich Lamed Mitchil Asai. Any word that needs a Lamed before it, V'loi Nitan Loi, but for whatever reason, a Lamed is not placed before it, Nitan Loi Hey B'Soifai. The letter Hey will be placed at the end of the word, and that's the same thing as putting a Lamed at the beginning of the word. Kigain, for example, instead of saying the word L'chutz, outside, the word will be Chutza, which is the same thing to outside. Instead of saying the word L'Seir, to Seir, the word will be said as Seira, which means the same thing to Seir. Same thing, L'Sukais, to Sukais, the word is Sukaisa, which is the same thing to Sukais. And so how do you not darshan this? Namely, when the Pasuk says Loitia Ishas Hames, Hachutza L'Ishzar, Hachutza just means L'Chutz, to the outside, to a random person. How are you darshaning Hachutza as Hachitzoina? Just take the Hey from the end of the word and put it at the beginning of the word, and you realize that your drasha makes no sense. And that's a good question on the Kusim. Now, once we mention Rav Nechemya, we just ask on this din of his. You see, with Rav Nechemya, that's Rav Nechemya, Vaksib, but we have a pasuk that says, Yeshuva Rishayim Lisha'ayla. Now, over here, we have both a Lamed and a Hey. Lisha'ayla means to Gehenim, so really, should just say it once. It should either say Lisha'ayl, or should say She'ayla. Either of those meaning to Gehenim. What's with this wording of Lisha'ayla? Mashma, not like Rav Nechemya. So, on Rav Bar Zavda, he answers, this is actually telling us double, that the Rishayim are going to be going to the very lowest level of Gehenim, and that's why we're using a double Lashon. If it just said L'sha'ol, that would mean to regular Gehenim, and also if it would have just said She'ayla, that would also mean just to regular Gehenim. But now that it uses this double Lashon, L'sha'ayla, it's as if it says L'sha'ol, L'sha'ol, to Gehenim, which means to the lowest level of Gehenim, and that's what the Pasuk's telling us. And now discussing this Machlekes Beisham Beisol in the Mishnah, regarding if Tzaras Erva is allowed to Yibam, Beisham says yes, Beisol says no. So then we have a Braisa, Arum Yechav Benuri, Re'eh Heich Halacha Zur Vachas B'Yisrael. How is this Halacha going to be Mekoyim? How's it going to be fulfilled in Klal Yisrael? Imekayim Diver Beishamai. If we're going to follow what Beishamai says, that Tzaras Erva is allowed to undergo Yibam, well, Havlad Mamzer Diver Beis Hillel. According to Beis Hillel, the child of that union is going to be a Mamzer. And Imekayim Diver Beis Hillel, if we're going to go with Beis Hillel, that Tzaras Erva is not to do Yibam, we'll Havlad Mamzer Diver Beishamai. According to Beishamai, the child's a Mamzer. And it's an impossible situation. Therefore, Boim Netakin, come, let's establish Shiuha Tzaras Chotzes Lomis Yavmites, that anytime we have Tzaras Erva, they should just do Chalitza no Yibam. And Tanya was taught in a Braisa that Lo Yispiku Lehaskin, that they didn't have a chance to be attacking this Achinitra Asha. Literally, this means until the hour got grabbed from them, meaning they were going to sit down and be attacking that anytime we have a case of Tzaras Erva, that she needs to do Chalitza, but whatever, something happened, they didn't have a chance to do that, and the halacha ended up being established like Beis Hillel. However, asking on what Rabbi Chabanuri just said, Amr Shim ben Gamaliel, V'im Kain, if this really would have been so, then Manas Tzaras Roshanis Shinesu, what would you have done with all the original Tzaras that did get married? Their children would be Mamzerim, and we would have the issue that we would have to contend with. So your suggestion of making this takana from now on, all Tzaras Erva should do chalitza not yibam, that's fine from now on. But what about the previous ones that did get married? What an answer to this question. We continue. Amar Belazari tells us, Afal Pishachu Beisham Beishil B'Tzaris, even though Beisham Beishil argue regarding Tzaras Erva, why then how they do agree she'ain avlad mamzer, that if the marriage did take place, the child's not a mamzer. She'ain mamzer el meisha she asura all of iser erva v'chayav an olah kares. A mamzer only comes from a union if a person had iser erva with this woman and he's chayav kares for being with her. And over here, this Tzaras Erva is only a lav, not kares. Sayinu Beis on top. Amar of Tarfon Tarfon says, Toivani, I so much desire shehei li Tzaras Habas shasi en lekahuna, that a case would come to me of Tzaras Habas, really meaning just any case of Tzaras Erva, that they're going to bring her to me and ask if she's chayav in chalitz or yibam or no. And I really want to be able to pask in this case because I'm going to marry off her to a kohen. And the chiddush over here is that even though Reb Tarfon is a talmid of Beis Shammai, and therefore if he would go like Beis Shammai, he would say that she's not allowed to marry a kohen because she would have to go chalitza and chalutz is not allowed to marry a kohen. Reb Tarfon over here is saying that no, I would pask like Beis Hillel that she does not need chalitza and mela she's allowed to marry a kohen. Another member about this, Shalosh Rabbi Shua, that's Rabbi Shua, Bnei Tzaras Mahen, the children of a tzara, what's their din? What's their status? Armelan, he told them, Hareyat Machrisim is Roshi ben Shnei Harma Gvayim. You're putting my head in between these two tall mountains, Ben Diver Beisham, Ben Diver Beis Hillel, in between Beisham Beis Hillel. We have Smachlekes Beisham Beis Hillel. What they with Tzaras Erva is, and you're putting my head in between that only for the following, Vishvil Shiritu Esmaichi, so they should squish my brain. No matter what I say, the other camp is going to get upset at me and, so to speak, squish my head, smash me because they don't like my psak. Aval, however, what I could do is made ani al mishpachas Beis Anuvai mi Beis Svuim. I give edos about the family of Beis Anuvai who comes from Beis Svuim, va al mishpachas Beis Nekifi mi Beis Koshesh, and on the family of Beis Nekifi who comes from Beis Koshesh, Shahayu Bnei Tzaras, they were the children of Tzaras, Vahayu Bnei Bneihem, Kaihanim Gedoilim, and their grandchildren were Kaihanim Gedoilim, Omdu Makrivan al Gam Mizbeach, standing and bring karbonis on the Mizbeach. So we see that they're 100% kosher Yidden, and that's all I can tell you about it. Another story about this, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi says, B'shem Rishu Ben Levi, Maisa, there's a story, Shenechazu Zakenim, Eitzel Reb Dais Ben Herkenes, that a few Zakenim went to Reb Dais Ben Herkenes, Hyrkanis, Lishalel Tsar Sabas, to ask him about Tsar Sabas, Tsaris Erva, what's the din? And Amrullah, they asked him, Athu Sha'at Matir Batsaris, are you the one who matters Tsaris Erva? Amrullah, so he told them, Mashamaton, what exactly did you hear? Did you hear this memra in the name of Daisa, or did you hear it in the name of Ben Hyrkanis? How is it said to you? So Amrullah, they told him, Ben Hyrkanis, we heard it in the name of Ben Hyrkanis. So Amrullah, he told him, Yonasan Achihava, this is from Yonasan, my brother. That's why I heard it in the name of Ben Hyrkanis and not in the name of Daisa. And Bachar Satan Hava is a very strong expression, which means he's very sharp, he's very smart. Umitamide Be Shammai, he's from Talmidim Be Shammai. He's Zaru Menu. You should be very careful of him. When you're going to go to him and try to discuss this with him and try to convince him that Beis Hillel is right, that Tsaris Erva is Asur, the reason why you should be careful is because Shalish Meis Chuvas Yeshlai Al Tsaris Abbas, he has 300 responses why Tsaris Abbas would be permitted like Beis Shammai. So what do they do? Asun Lagabe, they went to him. They left Reb Daisa Ben Hyrkanis and they went to Reb Yonasan Ben Hyrkanis. Now, in the meantime, Shalach Vakasav Lei, Reb Daisa sent the message to his brother, Reb Yonasan. He's all, you should be careful. Shechachma Yisrael Nechnasan Slacha, the Chachma Yisrael are coming to you. You should treat them with proper kavod. Now, Alun, they went up, the Yosef Luhukumai, and they sat in front of Reb Yonasan. And Av Mazber Lahain, he started explaining to them his Shita, which is like Beis Shammai, why Tsar Sabas is permitted. Vloy Sovereign, but they just simply didn't understand. And Mizber Lahain, he continued explaining to them Vloy Sovereign, and they didn't understand. It was too deep and too complicated for them. They weren't holding on his level. And because they didn't understand, Shayin Misnamnamin, they started dozing off. They started falling asleep. That's what we do in Shir when we don't understand. That's what they were doing. And remember, these are great Chachamim. It must be that Reb Yonasan Ben Hyrkanis was an absolutely phenomenal guy. Now, Amar Lahen, he told them, Ma'atun Misnamnamin, what are you sleeping for? Shari Mishdi Alayhin Sririn, he started throwing little pebbles at them. And they got so embarrassed that they ran away. V'izdamarin, there are those that say, the Bechad Tara Alun, that they all came in through one door. Ubatlas Anufkin, they ran out the three separate doors because they were so embarrassed. So Shalcham Ralei, Reb Yonasan sent a message back to his brother Reb Daisa saying, Mashalachtli b'nei nash bo melef, what you sent to me people that still need to learn, v'amrtli inun chachme Yisrael, you said that these are the chachamim. Bottom line is what happened. Asla gabei, these chachamim came back to Reb Daisa. Amrulay, they told him, Atmat Amar, what do you say? What's Allah regarding Tsaris Erva? So Amrulay, he told them, Al medaycha azoyis yashav chagai navi, on this medaycha, which literally means on this mortar. A mortar is the kli that you put the spices in and you grind them up with a thing that's called a pestle, and this thing could be overturned and used as a chair. So on this medaycha, chagai navi sat, and there's a whole machlokes how he can know that. Maybe he had a richas yamim and he knew chagai navi. Maybe chagai navi had a richas yamim. Maybe he had this as a tradition. Either which way, he's saying that chagai navi sat on this medaycha v'heid shleshet dvarim, and he gave edus about three things. First of all, atzar sabas shetinos elikahuna, that tzar sabas is allowed to marry kain. That's because she does not need chalitza, and that's definitely like Beis Hillel and not like Beis Shammai. Now, what are the next two things? V'al amanu mayav shein ma'asun ma'aser ani b'shvias, regarding amanu mayav, they take off ma'aser ani on shmita. What's this referring to? So we know that in Eretz Yisrael proper, we have 6 years of working the land, and the seventh is Shemitah. Now, in those 6 years, all produce has to have Maaser taken off of it. Years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle, we take off Maaser Sheni. Years 3 and 6, we take off Maaser Ani. And Shemitah, since everything's Hefker, and you're not allowed to work the land anyway, so there's no Maaser taken off. However, Amna Mayav, which is on the other side of the Yarden, the other side of the Jordan, that is a den of quasi Eretz Yisrael. So it is Chayv and Maaser, like Eretz Yisrael is. However, it does not have the den of Eretz Yisrael in regards to Shemitah, which means that on the Shemitah year, on the seventh year, Maaser has to be separated. The question is, which Maaser is that? So this is the second member from Chagai Navi, that in the Shemitah year, they take off Maaser Ani and not Maaser Sheni. Lastly, while Geri Tadmar, Shein Kshein Lovi B'Kahal, in regards to Gerim that come from this area called Tadmar, they are mutter to marry into the Kahal. The reason why this is important is because it's Machlaikas regarding Gerim coming from this area, that actually they might be from Jewish mothers, meaning these Jewish mothers intermarried with non-Jews, and they had children, which of course we know are Yidden. These people didn't necessarily know it. Then they became Gerim. Now, if that was the situation, according to some Shitas, they're not allowed to be Yoved B'Kahal. They're not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael because they have a psul due to the fact that their father is a non-Jew. And so that's what Chagai Navi is telling us, is that no, Gerim that came from Tadmar, they're 100% Gerim because they were 100% not Jewish beforehand. Now going back to Reb Daisa's conversation with these Chachamim, Amar, he said as follows, Toloin Shnei Einai D'nech Mil Chachma Yisrael, please illuminate my two eyes so that I can see the Chachamim. He was very old, he wasn't able to see, and so we asked Hashem, please let me see so I can see who these Chachamim are. Now Rosh Reb Yeshua, he saw Reb Yeshua, V'kara Olav, and he said the following pasuk about him, as mi yaredeya, we continue, as mi yavin shemua, gemulei chalav, atikim ishadayim, and that's really the key of the pasuk, part that we just said, which literally means those weaned from milk, removed from the mother's breast. And why did he say that about Rabbi Shua? Because zachar ani, I remember, says Rabbi Daisa, shahaysa ima melechas arusas lebeis haknesses, his mother would take his crib to shul, b'shvil sheizdabku asam divrei Torah, so that his ears could cling to the words of Torah, and that's even though he was a young child, and he was freshly weaned from his mother, he was gemulei mechalav, and atikim ishadayim. That's Rabbi Shua, that's why he quoted this pasuk. And then as Rabbi Kiva, Bakarlov, and he said the following pasuk about him, Kfirim Rashu V'Revu, which literally means young lions, they want and they're hungry. The Pasuk continues though, with Darshe Hashem lo yachsru chotav, those who seek out Hashem are not going to lack any good. And why is he saying this about Rabbi Kiva? Because Makirani Sha'adim Gira Batairahu, I remember that he was a mighty person in Torah, and that's even though, as we know about Rabbi Kiva, when he was younger, he did not know Torah and he was very poor, and that's like a young lion who's hungry, but later on he became a huge Talmud Chacham and wealthy. That's how this Pasuk is being said about him. And lastly, Razor Blazman Azariah, he saw Blazman Azariah Vakarlov, and he said this Pasuk about him, Nar Yisi Gamzakanti, I was a Nar, I was a youth, and I also became old. The Pasuk continues, Vlayra Isi Tzadik Nezav, Vizar Vakish Lachem, and why is he saying this Pasuk? Makir Anishu Dar Asir Ezra, I know that Blazman Azariah is 10th generation from Ezra Sefer, Ve'inoi Domila Didei, and his eyes are similar to Ezra's, as has a fulfillment of this Pasuk, Vlayra Isi Tzadik Nezav, the Tzadik Ezra, he wasn't abandoned because his descendant, 10 generations later, is his great Chacham, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, Amr Chanin and Spirin, he tells us that Afrim Tarfon Havimon, the Rab Tarfon was with them, Vikara all of Kadad Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Dosis said the same pasuk about him that he did to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, going back to discuss this third Eidos from Chagai Navi regarding these Gerim from Tadmar, so from Nachum Yaakov Amar, he tells us the Mekablim Gerim min HaKarduyim umin HaTadmarim will accept Gerim not only from Tadmar, but also from the Karduyim, being from a place called Kardu or Kardun. They we know they're not Mamzerim at all, there were no Yidden mixed up in them, they're 100% from non-Jews, which means Melo. When they become Gerim, they're 100% Yidden. Now, Ravos is from Yechnon, Masnis Amar Kain Shagir Tad Mekshirin. We have a Mishnah that tells us that Gerim from Tadmar are 100% Kosher. The Tinin Taman, we have Mishnah over there, Maseches Nida, Kol Ksamim by Mei Rekem Tahirin. All Ksamim, which means bloodstains that come from a woman, if this came from the area of Rekem, they're 100% Tahar. That's because they're presumed to be coming from non-Jews, which was what Rekem was mostly populated by, and any Nida stains from non-Jew are Tahar. Now, Rabbi Yehuda argues over there and says that no, if they come from Rekem, they're actually presumed to be Tamei. That's because the people living in Rekem, even though they think they're non-Jews, really they're actually Yidden who are living like Goyim, therefore those stains are going to be Tamei. Now, even though Rabbi Yehuda argues regarding Rekem, he himself says that any Ksamim, any Nida stains coming from any other place of Goyim, they're considered to be Tahar. And that means even if they're coming from Tadmar, they would be Tahar. What does that tell us? Hageri Tadmar Ksherin. That means that any Gerim come from Tadmar are Kosher. That's because they're 100% non-Jews. Therefore, when they become Gerim, they're 100% Yidden. Now, one remember regarding this, Rabbi Yaakov Amar Shmuasa, he said the following, there are Chanina, Rabbi Shuba, and Levi, Chad Machshir, Vechad Mekabel. One of them is Machshir, that some of these bloodstains that come from Tadmar, and the other one is Mekabel them as Gerim. Now, Manda Machshir, Mekabel. The first one, who's Machshir, that says these some come from Tadmar, are 100% Tahar, so he will also be Mekabel them as Gerim, because by the very fact that these Ksamim are Tahar, shows us that they're 100% non-Jews, Mela will accept them as 100% Gerim. However, Manda Mekabel, Loi Machshir, the second Manda Amar, who accepts them as Gerim, he will not necessarily be Machshir, their Ksamim. That's because accepting as Gerim simply means that they're not Mamzerim, but it could still be that they come from Yidden in some way or another, and therefore the Ksamim would not necessarily be Tahar. Now, we're talking they will pick up tomorrow with a discussion regarding Yichus. That's because we just brought this up regarding the people from Tadmar. Do they have good Yichus? Do they not? So we're going to talk about Yichus as well in the next Gemara. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.